And the other gospel that tells the Christmas story is Luke. Matthew tells about the wise men. Luke tells about the shepherds. But only Luke the shepherds, and only Matthew the wise men. But in Luke chapter 1 and at verse 26, we hear how it was that Mary heard that she was going to have the baby who was to be called Jesus. In Luke chapter 1 and in verse 26, Luke chapter 1 and at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And over the page to chapter 2, the beginning of that chapter. 9 months have passed by, and we pick up the story in Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Amen. And the next hymn is a meditation upon what happened that night. Number 16. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin and her child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Number 16. Let's pray again. Dear Lord, wilt thou grant with the help of thy Spirit that we might understand the wonder of what happened that night. We love it when a child is born into a family. But it seems so wonderful. Little fingers, little toes, a bit of hair, or perhaps not. Sleeping, crying. And this is our children. And it's a wonderful thing how a child grows in the womb and how at the right time that child is born, all its faculties normally, all ready to live independently of the womb. And how much more wonderful was that child, Jesus, begotten of the Holy Spirit of God. A child that would not carry any fault on either side, because thou didst guard from any sin coming from Mary into the life of this child, and he was the Son of God by the Spirit without sin. And so he never sinned, and he was different, and in this one body he was absolutely God, absolutely man, perfect, like none of us has ever been, but God as well. Lord, grant us to understand that this was something that only happened once with one child, that thou hast prepared from the beginning of history that it should happen, and that he lived a life here on earth for just 33 years. And then he went back to heaven after having died a sacrificial death, to bear sins that were not his own but ours, and then was raised from the dead, that all who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We do pray that thou wilt grant us an understanding of these wonderful things, of the nature of this wonderful child, and that this child is not a child now, grew up to be a man, went back to heaven, and is there right at the heart of the heaven, at the right hand of his Father, and praying for all those who love him. So we ask now that thou wilt help us to understand as we think about that child, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We remember, dear Lord, that the wise men brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, precious things. But it was in acknowledgement that thou art King of kings and Lord of lords, and that the precious things that thou dost give are worth more than gold, more than frankincense, more than myrrh, more than all the world put together. And we ask, Lord, that thou wilt give us those wonderful things, forgiveness for our sins, acceptance with God, a place in heaven, and an understanding heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we bring our gifts, we ask that they will bless us, the givers, and keep the cause of the gospel going in this church, for thy dear name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We sing number 5. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. And at Monday Club, when we talked about the cattle are lowing, they didn't know that lowing meant mooing, as we would say now. So it's just mooing. They thought it meant sitting down, lowing. And it should never struck me, but it could have been that. But it actually means mooing. The cattle are mooing. The baby awakes. That makes sense then, doesn't it? Away in a manger. Oh, they're sweet when they're babies, they're sweet when they're toddlers, they're sweet when they're a bit older, they're sweet when they're teenagers, they're sweet when they're our age too. Would you turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2? And in verses 10, 11 and 12, I'm going to read it to you. But you'll not find it difficult to remember the point. The angel said unto the shepherds, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. How many times did the word you occur there? And if you add to it ye, which is the same, and if you add to it all people, which must include you, how many times did you make it? Well, you needn't tell me the answer, but we'll look at it. This was a most wonderful day. I always imagine it was on the hillside, but doesn't actually say that they were keeping watch on the hill. It just says that they were in the country watching their sheep, all the shepherds. A thing that they did every night. Perhaps not all of them were there every night, but the sheep were always there, and the shepherds were always watching, and they had no idea what was going on. Down in Bethlehem, Mary had given birth to a child. The people in the inn didn't know what was going on. They didn't think anything about it in particular. They simply said to Joseph, or on behalf of Mary, sorry, there isn't any room. You can't come in. Never mind that she's about to give birth, but you just can't come in. There's no room. But perhaps they were kind and suggested, well, if you like to go round the back, and if you like to go where the cattle are kept, and if you like to make yourself comfortable on the straw, and perhaps place the baby in the manger where the cattle draw the straw from to eat, then maybe you'll be comfortable, maybe you'll be warm. Shut the door, thought, no more about it, whatever. And then you get this stark truth. God in heaven, and every one of the thousands and thousands and thousands of angels are very interested. And you ask yourself, who counts for most? What people think or what God thinks? And then you ask yourself, why was God interested? Why were all the angels? Why did they all want to come? Why did thousands of them come? Why did they join the shepherds and scare them out of their wits until they said, don't be afraid? Why did they come and speak that God now has all the glory in highest heaven, and in this child there will be peace from God and goodwill from God towards people? Why? This child was special. So special that the whole of history is dated from his birth. Before Christ, BC, after Christ, AD. There never has been another baby like it. This baby was perfect. Believe it or not, this baby, when he was 12, grew up to be perfect. He never did sin. He never thought anything wrong. He never said anything wrong. He did everything right. And as he grew up into a man, he knew what was in people's hearts. And the reason he was so different was that he had within himself two natures. We only have one. We have a human nature. Human nature. But not only do we have a human nature, but it's what we call a fallen human nature. You can't help, I can't help getting things wrong. It's a fact of life. But Jesus was not like that. And that's what made him a different baby. Wasn't different to look at. Well, maybe, I've no idea. But one expects that he just looked like an ordinary baby. But he had the nature of God, the Creator, absolutely perfect within him. And he also had a nature within him, like ourselves, a human nature, but with no sin. You see, we get our sin passed on from Adam and Eve. And he is a new head of the race. Adam was head of the human race. He was the first one. And he rebelled against God and he sinned together with Eve and passed on their rebellion to every single child and every single person that has ever lived ever since. And from that time, no one has ever been born on God's side. Jesus says you must be born again if you want to be on God's side. Jesus never sinned, and he couldn't sin. And he was to be the new head so that all who are in him, all who believe in him, belong to him and belong to heaven and will go to heaven and will have their sins forgiven. So this child was different. Child grew up, of course. Died when he was 33, it's generally thought. Crucified on the cross. Still having done no sin. But paying a price for us who are guilty, who believe in him. That our sin might be forgiven. And that he might pay the price. We can't. It would destroy us. God only has to look at us in our sin and we would be instantly destroyed. But he looks at believers through the perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ and counts them as pardoned. So he was a different child. He grew up to become a perfect man and offered himself on the cross. He was born to die. He came specifically to do that. He died on the cross, nailed there by cruel hands, unjustly, but in God's plan to pay the price of sin himself for every sinner who believes in him. But my text, the angel, before he was joined by all the others, said to the very frightened shepherds, "Don't be afraid, for I bring you good tidings." Now I'm going to talk about you, all people, ye. What the angel was doing, you see, was saying to the shepherds, now you go and get involved. It's a wonderful thing. Lots of people have noticed it. And I expect, as we read the story, you might have noticed it too, that when God revealed that this king had been born, though he was only a child, rich men came to worship him, and poor people, poor shepherds came. Really, if you like, a cross section. And Jesus was identified with the poorest of the poor being born, like none of us have had to be, and placed in a manger. But on that great day, when the whole of heaven was singing, when the heaven was rejoicing, when the angels were looking down at this wonderful child and the rest of the world really didn't know what was going on, didn't even know there was a child. There were millions of children being born about that time. Yet the angel said to the shepherd, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings." Now, Jesus is good tidings. Jesus is good news. Unto you is born a saviour. But Jesus is good news. But it doesn't mean anything if he is just good news. Unless he's good news to you, you see. Unless you are involved. Now, as I said, he died. But he was raised from the dead and he's alive in heaven. And how can he be good news for you. Behold, I bring you good tidings, good news. Well, the things we do wrong make us unhappy. Sin always destroys, upsets people, upsets ourselves, ruins things. And it's quite clear, isn't it, that God can't have people who are going to ruin things in heaven forever and ever where he lives. So we are all ruled out of everlasting life. We are all ruled out of heaven by nature unless something drastic happens. And the angel here is suggesting that that something drastic is something that should interest us. Because it is good news to be forgiven and to have our sins blotted out and to have a change made in our lives that would improve them enormously. Unto you, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So he's saying to the shepherds, this good news is good news for you, but not just for you shepherds who are here tonight, not just for all the people down there in Bethlehem, not just for all the people in the land of Judea, but for all people of all nations, of all times, but not everyone without exception, but all sorts of people all down the years in all sorts of different situations. This joy, this good news shall be available to all people wherever the gospel is preached. You, I bring you good tidings of great joy for all people. Well, I always think when I see an expression like that, like the hymn writer said, if all people, why not me? Why should I miss out on something that's for everybody? Now, not everybody gets it. It's not all without exception. It's all sorts of different people is the meaning here. But why should I miss out? Why should I not seek and find the good tidings that are mentioned of here? Well, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day. Did he just mean the nation? Well, he did mean the nation. But he's saying to the shepherds, you're representatives. You have a chance. He's born for you. All that he's come to do, you may have. You may have the forgiveness of sins. You may go and see him now. You may love him. And you may follow his life within the next 30 years. And you may understand that he's come to die for sin and you may have your sins forgiven. But unto you is born. This is a child. Not for everybody else. What interest do we have personally if there's a new monarch born to Japan or something like this? We can't ask, could we? So he says, but this child, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is of interest to you. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. See, we need saving. He is the one who is the saviour of sinners, the lover of sinners, not their sin. But he sees what a mess we make of our lives, how unhappy we are. And he looks and he loves. And he's a saviour. And those who need help and safety and comfort and rescue from sin, he will do that. But you have to get involved. That's what he's saying here. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you. Angel's not letting him off the shepherds off the hook. You're going to have to go look for him. You're going to have to go and find him. No clues, no map reference, no nothing. Just you will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Well, only one child like that. But how many mangers? How many backs of how many inns and how many farms are they going to have to look round before they come? Interestingly enough, the wise men coming a long way had a star, but they had to go and find it. They had to go and find this child by using their common sense, by using their interest, by having their interest awoken by the command of God. They knew that they would go and find. You shall find the babe. What a wonderful thing. But we can still say that even in these days. Because as I say, he died and he rose again from the dead. You may find, he's no longer a babe, but he is the Saviour. You may find the Saviour. And you have to find the Saviour, else you will not be saved. If you fail to find the Saviour, if you fail to search for him, if you fail to look for him, if you fail to believe in him, then he won't be a Saviour to you. You will not be saved. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Well, they were in dreamland for a little while. But when the angels went away, and I think the tense here is, it came to pass that as the angels were going away from them into heaven, they sort of looked at each other and said, well, what are we waiting for? The angel said, go. Go to Bethlehem. We must go and see if we can find this babe. And they remembered the angel, and they remembered the message, and they went to see Mary. When they found her, they told her. And Mary remembered, of course, what the Holy Spirit had said to her when she first conceived the child. And she stored these things in her heart. But the shepherds, they told everybody they saw. They went and rejoiced on their way home. From that time onwards, it was common news round Bethlehem that a child had been born, a Saviour had been born. God had given testimony to it. And it was for all sorts of people. And you could find that Saviour. It is Christmas time. I'm willing to bet many things will occupy your time and attention over Christmas. But there's just one thing. One thing above all. And that is, you need to find Jesus. You need to search for him. You need to have reason to search for him, knowing that you're a sinner and you need his help. Everything hangs on that. Your whole eternal existence of your soul turns on that. It doesn't turn on the turkey. It doesn't turn on the presents. It doesn't turn on the Christmas tree or the star. But your whole eternal destiny does hang on whether you find Jesus, because you need a Saviour from your sin. And may the Lord help us all in that search. Amen.